What a blessing it is to be gathered here in the presence of the Almighty God, who is our Creator, but is not an impersonal force, but is a spiritual being in whom we live and we have our very being. I want to express my sincere appreciation to my dear friend Jonathan for inviting me to be with you today and to share in this special occasion where brothers and sisters from all around the state have decided to come into one physical space and to share a spiritual space together in Christ Jesus. I also express appreciation to Joshua and to the wonderful singers that have blessed us thus far today with their beautiful voices as they have led us in spiritual songs filled with grace unto our Lord. And I'm also blessed to be in the company of someone who has served as a mentor and an example to me across the years, and the person of Brother J.C. Thomas and his wonderful wife. We are grateful in the church to have such mighty and yet humble servants of Christ Jesus. I want to speak to you today from the book of Colossians, chapter 3, beginning with verse 15 and ending with verse 17. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace, and be thankful. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly, as you teach and as you admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. And whatever you do, whether in word or in deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. The peace of Christ, the peace of Christ. Today, we sit in the middle of a dangerous historical intersection. The nation must choose the direction in which it intends to travel, taking a fearful U-turn towards a nostalgic past that can never be replicated in the present moment is not a healthy option. Taking a loose left onto the Broadway of bigotry, back down the mean memory lane of racial hostility, is not a healthy option. Taking a rigid right onto the rocky road of resisting love's arresting power is not a healthy option. We must bravely face the horrific tensions of our turbulent times. Let us not sit immobilized in the face of the oncoming traffic of human history. America must move forward in the healthy direction of a peaceful tranquility. We have seen the rough terrain of major economic catastrophes. We have seen nations go from world wars to cold wars. We have seen military campaigns carried out in the steamy jungles of Asia, as well as in the blistering hot sands of the Middle East. We have seen the snarling faces of mobs that hung up black bodies in the backwoods of Mississippi like pork hanging in Tennessee smokehouses. We have seen madmen stagger across the stage of history, intoxicated by their shameless addiction to raw power and brute brutality. Though we are adrift in an ocean of madness, we remind America that the only remedy for its social ills today is the love of God and the love of neighbor. Christians today must speak with crystal clear clarity into this historic moment that is pregnant with the Siamese twins of hatred and violence. Now is the hour that we must encourage our fellow citizens to be weaned off the bottle that is filled with the sour breast milk of hatred. In Colossians 3:15, Paul says, "Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts in all wisdom, sing with grace in your heart unto the Lord." America needs to hear a new song. The American mind has been set ablaze by the fiery rhetoric of extremism. America's heart has been turned into an overflowing river of bitter intolerance. If America's heart is left untreated by the divine heart doctor, America will suffer a heart attack resulting in its own national fatality. America's external and domestic enemies will be found sitting patiently in the waiting room, ready to cheer the bad news of America's self-inflicted demise. Christians must speak once again to influence our nation to free itself from the chokehold it is being held in by the tag team of hostility and malice. We must shout loud that there can be no genuine peace within America's national borders until the peace of Christ is ruling in the borders of the American heart. Today, America's multiracial society is hanging by a fragile thread over an open inferno of tribal hostilities. Many are quietly readying themselves with weapons of domestic warfare with the intentions of destroying one of the longest running democratic experiments in human history. Smart bombs have become dumb bombs that threaten the very existence of human civilization. Hostile conversations fly over the open airwaves of talk radio like warplanes dropping their payloads upon their targeted sites. Unless we diffuse the hatred in the hearts of our fellow citizens, there will be no hope for America's future. Paul implies that peace is a choice. He tells the Colossians to let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. The peace of Christ is not invasive. The peace of Christ is not overbearing. The peace of Christ is not forceful. The peace of Christ enters into the heart through invitation only. Violence, on the other hand, is disrespectful. Violence seeks to barge into the heart without invitation. Violence refuses to comply with any restraining order that attempts to restrict its entry from entering into the human heart, violence and hatred work in collusion together. They are partners in crime. Crimes not only against humanity, but crimes against the kingdom of God itself. Violence and hatred have learned how to creatively use Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter to exploit the underlying condition of embedded racism and rage. Practicing the peace of Christ is the most effective strategy that Christians can use to disrupt programs of violence that are being privately planned. Only through the peace of Christ can we experience a genuine human community that includes people from all sides of the color line. Paul reminds the Colossians that they have been called to peace. Christians in America must be reminded that we too have been called to peace. The Prince of Peace has not called us to a political civil war in a nation that is already torn by severe strife. He has called us to peace. The Prince of Peace has not called us to kill one another in competition over our favorite brand of politics. He has called us to peace. The Prince of Peace has not called us to endorse the politics of division that turn neighbor against neighbor. He has called us to peace. The Prince of Peace has not called us to participate in the anxious promotion of fear. He has called us to peace because perfect love casts out fear. People ruled by the peace of Christ are clothed with the spiritual wardrobe consisting of the garments of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. And over these virtues, Christians put on the overcoat of love, which binds together all these virtues in perfect unity. The peace of Christ, ruling and dwelling in the hearts of our fellow citizens, is the only thing that can cause people of different backgrounds to live in peace with one another. Only the word of Christ, dwelling in us richly, can enable us to teach and admonish one another in all wisdom. The word of Christ destroys the egotistical need to defeat others at all cost. The peace of Christ enables us to listen to one another without a need to dominate one another. The peace of Christ makes us wise, prudent, and gracious in our talk. The peace of Christ empowers us to use words that build others up rather than tearing them down. Paul says that when the peace of Christ rules in our hearts, our singing contains the wisdom of Christ. What kind of music are Christians making in America today? Are we singing songs of civil peace, or are we singing songs of civil war? What Christian songs are at the top of the music charts in the country's public square? Are we known for singing the praises of our chosen princely political leaders more than we are known for singing praises of the Prince of Peace? Are our songs filled with the lyrics of faith, hope, and love? Or are they filled with the lyrics of rage, fear, and resentment, and retaliation? What are our songs filled with today? Are our songs filled with the lyrics of peace, positivity, and possibilities? Or are they filled with the lyrics of hate speech and violent rhetoric and words of war? Is our chorus inclusive enough to provide space for everybody in our country to sing, even if We think they can't sing. Help me, somebody. Can they even be permitted to lead a solo every now and then, regardless of their race or gender? Does our chorus sing in racial harmony with diverse voices, or does it sing in a monotone voice that excludes all other voices? Let it be said that only one type of voice, or let it not be said that only one type of voice can sing in our racial chorus. Let our singing be filled with grace so we can sing of God's amazing grace all across America. Let us sing a song that is filled with thanksgiving, that can drown out the song of hatred led by the raspy voice of Lucifer himself. Let us sing a song that is filled with the happy hope that can drown out the quartet of bitterness, rage, malice, and hatred. Let us sing a song that is filled with the love that shall endure throughout the eternal ages. Let us sing a song about heaven's desire to break into the world with love, justice, and peace. Let us sing a song that is directed and led not by Prince the Artist, but by Christ the Savior, the Prince of Peace. Rejected people must be lifted by our Christian lyrics and by our Christian language. Let Jesus sing. People long despised because of their African origins are affirmed in the love songs of Jesus. Let Jesus sing. Men and women mastered by misery and depressed by despair must hear the melodious voice of the Prince of Peace singing a song that shatters the sound barrier of eternity itself. Let Jesus sing. Little children trapped in the urban ghettos and trapped in the rural trailer parks will have their bright eyes filled with hope as they hear the voice of the divine soloist singing to them of a better future, absent of the stale, cold bread of poverty. Let Jesus sing. Until our voices become hoarse and our bodies fade away into the soil of the earth, we will never quit extending the invitation for the world to join in that eternal song of peace about a place where we won't have to study war no more. We're going to lay down our burdens down by the riverside, and we ain't going to study war no more. Until the sword shall have become plowshares and spears shall have become pruning hooks, we will never tire of reminding our fellow citizens in this country that this world is not our home. We are just passing through here. Be careful to what you become attached to. You cannot carry your skin beyond the grave. Under the grave, everybody looks exactly the same. I've never seen skeletons arguing over which skeleton is superior to the other skeleton. Help me, somebody. We're all headed to the graveyard, but yet we attach so much significance and importance to things that are decaying. The skin that we are in will decay and be no more, but the spirit that is within our skin, the spirit that is within us, the grave cannot hold it. Death cannot kill it. We celebrate this week all the way till next Sunday. A Savior who died on a Friday. They nailed him to a cross, started celebrating his death. But early on Sunday morning, he got up from the grave, declaring all power in the heavens and on the earth is in my hands. That is the Savior that we praise and worship today. Joel chapter 3 and verse 10 says, he shall judge between many peoples and shall arbitrate between strong nations afar. They shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nations shall not lift up sword against nation. Black folk and white folk and brown and yellow folk will not lift up swords against each other. Democrats and Republicans will not lift up swords against each other, because in heaven there will be no such thing as a Democrat. There will be no such thing as a Republican or an independent or whatever political designation we hear spoken of in this world. There will be no black and white designations in heaven. And if we're going to get used to being in heaven with one another, we better get prepared to be together with one another right here on earth. Amen. The peace we make and keep today will be the peace our children and our grandchildren will reap on tomorrow. Despite the many people who are going mad around us, we must stand steady on the solid rock of peace that produces spiritual sanity. Some of our friends and neighbors will become mad at us because we're not sharing in the national madness that has engulfed our nation today. There is a disease known as the mad cow disease, but there is another disease that's more contagious and more deadly than the mad cow disease. It is known as the mad human disease. The crusade of madness sweeping across our nation today reminds me of the story about the king and the poison well. The story goes, there was once a wise king who ruled over a vast kingdom. He was feared for his might and loved for his wisdom. Now, in the heart of the city, there was a well with pure and crystalline waters from which the king and all the inhabitants drank. When all were asleep, three witches entered the city and poured 7 drops of a strange liquid into the well. They said that henceforth, who drink this water should become mad. And the next day, all the people drink of the water, but not the king. And the people began to say, the king is mad and has lost his reason. Look how strangely he behaves. He's not acting like us. We cannot be ruled by a madman, so he must be dethroned. And the king grew fearful, for his subjects were preparing to rise against him. He had a difficult choice: risk being destroyed by his beloved subjects, or drink from the poison well and become mad like them. So that evening, he ordered a golden goblet to be filled from the well. He drank deeply, and the next day there was great rejoicing among the people, for their beloved king had finally regained his sanity. The moral of the story is that there is evidence everywhere that somebody has poisoned America's well. Many of our fellow citizens are drinking deeply from the poisoned well filled with the poison of bitterness, rage, and hostility. We, however, must refuse to drink from the poison well of our society despite the social pressure that is being put upon us to join in the madness that is spreading all across our country. As Christians, we must remember that the inner well that Christ said would be springing up within us is that inner well that contains the waters of eternal life. It is in the inner well that serves us our divine water supply. It makes us independent from the water supply of a world that has gone mad. And despite the negativity that we see in our political discourse, Christians are called upon today to dwell in the inner well in order to receive a pure water that can quench America's spiritual thirst. Despite family rejection and social ostracism, we must dwell in the inner well. And it is only when we dwell in the inner spiritual well and drink of the pure waters of life, we can then truly say that it is well with our souls. Only dwelling in the inner spiritual well of the eternal water of life can we remain well. Only then can we experience that inner well as the true wellness center, and you don't even have to pay an annual fee. When there is chaos in the public square, respond by letting your peaceful actions spring forth from that deep well of the Prince of Peace that dwells within. When there are words spoken that call for mass violence, let the peaceful response spring forth from the deep well of love and peace that dwells within. We are going somewhere, y'all. This world is only a rest area, temporarily. This is not our final destination. Don't get caught up in all of the confusion and chaos that's going on in our country and in our world today. Whatever spaces you operate in, speak forth the words of the Prince of Peace that abide within you. If you are hated because you refuse to get mad like the people around you, you will be in good company. If they hated Jesus because he was a peacemaker, and because he advanced the kingdom of heaven and not the kingdoms of this world, you are in good company. If you get written out of the family's will, that's all right, as long as you remain in God's will. Nobody has a heaven to put you in, and nobody has a hell to confine you to. And because we know that God is our maker and he is the one to whom we are returning, we place no one beside him, and we place no worldly princes above him. We say to the world that God is our king, Christ is our prince, and he has put something in us that puts a smile on our face when everybody else is frowning. Have I got a witness? We know that we are traveling from here to another city. Little Rock may be your hometown right now, but we're headed to another town, another city, whose maker and builder is God. I like the city of Little Rock. Y'all got some good streets here, but ever so often, I've observed that you gotta few streets that got some potholes in them. Can I get an amen? But I know of a city that got streets that don't have potholes in them. A city that has streets made of pure gold. I hear y'all got a mayor in Little Rock. I don't know whether he's a good mayor or a bad mayor, but I know of another city whose mayor is God himself. I don't even know who your mayor pro tem is here, but in that city, Jesus is the mayor pro tem. I hear you got a city manager here. Don't know whether he's a good one or whether she's a bad one. Help me, somebody. But in that city to where we are going, the Holy Spirit is the city manager. And the 12 apostles sit on the city council. In that city, we won't have to worry about dying anymore, because there will be no death over there, no crime over there, no sickness over there. But in order to get over there, we got to live in harmony with God's will over here. So when we get ready to press our dying pillar, we can say with conviction that no matter if I die today, Christ is alive. Wherever we go in our circles of influence, let us shout to the top of our voices that Jesus Christ is alive, and he is alive forevermore. If you're carrying your weapons of war, throw them down. If you're carrying hatred in your heart, allow the Spirit to evict it from your heart so that you won't have to study war anymore. I'm kind of tempted to do something spontaneous right now, so if y'all can come sing with me the song that's near and dear to my heart. And everybody can join in, because we're in War Memorial Stadium. But one day, we ain't gonna study war.
That's right.
No
that's
more.
Right. That's right.
Well, I'm gonna lay down my burdens down by
the riverside.
Down by the riverside. I'm gonna lay down my burdens. Down by
the riverside.
I'm gonna study the war no more. Well, I ain't gonna study.
Y'all know it now.